2 Kings 4, 38-44. Death in the pot. Elisha returned to Gilgal, and there was a famine in that region while the company of the prophets was meeting with him. He said to his servant, "Put on the large pot and cook some stew for these prophets." One of them went out into the fields to gather herbs and found a wild gourd plant and picked as many of its gourds as his garment could hold. When he returned, he cut them up into the pot of stew, though no one knew what they were. The stew was poured out for the men, but as they began to eat it, they cried out, "Man of God, there's death in this pot," and they could not eat it. Elisha said, "Get some flour." He put it into the pot and said, "Serve it to the people to eat," and there was nothing harmful in the pot. A man came from Baal Shalishah, bringing the man of God 20 loaves of barley bread baked from the first ripe corn, along with some ears of new corn. "Give it to the people to eat," Elisha said. "How can I set this before 100 men?" his servant asked. But Elisha answered, "Give it to the people to eat, for this is what the Lord says. They will eat and have some left over." Then he set it before them, and they ate and had some left over, according to the word of the Lord. And the second reading is John 6, 1 to 15. Jesus feeds the 5,000. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is, the Sea of Tiberias, and a great crowd of people followed him, because they saw the signs he had performed by healing those who were ill. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming towards him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Jesus answered him, "It would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world." Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks very much, Sue. Morning again. And thank you, Tiago, for sharing what you did. Thank you also to Andrew for stepping in. I realise those of you who haven't been part of this church for too long might not realise that Andrew was a missionary in Brazil for, was it about 17 years? Have I got... 33. Oh, well. 17, 33. The story's about multiplication this morning anyway, so there you go. Fabulous. Thank you. We are continuing in our series this morning, working through John's Gospel, looking at the signs in John's Gospel and the I am sayings in John's Gospel. We've kind of combined the two. So far, we've only had the signs because we've just been working through the narrative of Scripture. And today, we come on to this story of the feeding of the 5,000. And I looked up to see if I can find some decent jokes based on this passage. And to be honest, they're all rubbish. I'm really sorry. So I thought maybe I wouldn't bother. What's that I hear you say? You want me to tell the rubbish jokes anyway? I'm not Matt Bell. I hear they are, that Hollywood are making a version of this story, turning it into a film, and the French version is going to be called The Poisson of the Christ. So these are upmarket rubbish jokes, I'll have you know. And then, of course, French people can really feel for Jesus in this story because they feel his pain. I think we need to pray, don't you? Father God, thank you for this wonderful story. Thank you for all that Jesus is and continues to be for us. I pray that as we spend time looking at a passage that will be very familiar for some of us, I pray that you would speak to us by your Spirit so that we might know you better through it and know what you're calling us to do as a result. For I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So as I just said, for many of us, not all, but for many of us, this is a really familiar story. And therefore it's a challenge in terms of knowing what to say. You know, we've got this giant hospitality crisis. People have turned up. There's nothing in the fridge. There's no local shops. There's no takeaways. Deliveroo haven't started up yet. And I don't think Deliveroo would do an order quite this big anyway. And anyway, there was probably no mobile signal because they were in a very remote place. Jesus isn't content to send them away. He wants to feed them. And he does in a miraculous way. And everyone goes, wow, you should be on Israel's top talent or Israel's Got Talent or whatever. This is the only miracle that actually, apart from the resurrection, this is the only miracle that appears in all four accounts of Jesus' life, all four of the Gospels. So we need to take note of that in terms of being important. Indeed, it's so important that Matthew and Mark also include the feeding of the 4,000 on a separate occasion. So we've got six feeding miracles in the Gospels. And remember, at one level, all the miracles are signs pointing to who Jesus is. They're also fulfilling great need, but they are signs pointing to who Jesus is. And John emphasizes that. He talks about the signs that Jesus did. John is a more reflective writer than the other three. We've talked about that before. So this story is oozing with symbolism. It's, if you like, he takes it as a giant object lesson. And there are so many different directions I could take this in, and I have different directions I have taken this in as I've preached on this passage on many occasions over the years. And this morning I just want to home in on two points. I want to home in on giving and gathering. Giving and gathering. And remember, whenever we look at Scripture, we're also then thinking not only what has Jesus done, but what does it mean for us in terms of what we will do. So first of all, the giving. In this story, we see Jesus giving in three distinct ways. We see him giving in healing, in teaching, and in feeding. Healing, teaching, and feeding. So let's look first at Jesus giving in healing. See, the crowd are there in the first place. Why? Because they've seen all the healings that he's been doing, and therefore they're following him, which is very reasonable. If you've been sick for many years, we were thinking just last week about the man who'd been sick for 38 years, which is even longer than Andrew was in Brazil, because I've clocked that number now. If you think of someone, then if you hear that someone can bring about healing, you're going to go rushing to them. And we see, it's not underlined in this passage, but we see elsewhere and we understand Jesus' compassion. In fact, when Matthew tells the story, he says, Jesus is full of compassion and therefore he brings healing. When Mark tells the story, he says Jesus has compassion on these people, therefore he teaches them. Luke actually says Jesus has compassion on these people, and therefore he heals and teaches them. What we get here is those healings have already taken place, and John picks up the story kind of halfway through. They followed him because of the healings they've seen. And so John immediately goes on to the thinking about the feeding. But it's worth remembering, a key aspect of Jesus' ministry is about restoring those who are excluded to wholeness. Those who were sick in that culture, remember, were excluded. They were considered unclean. And Jesus restores them to community. He restores them to wholeness through the healing miracles. So he gives through healing. And he gives through teaching. It starts off up a mountain. Again, remember, there's symbolism in John's writing. Mountain, that makes people think of Sinai. That makes people think of teaching, of the commandments. It makes people think of closeness to God. All of that just summed up in the start of this, that Jesus was up a mountain. And then you see what was clearly, anyone who's done any teaching knows that we get this in verse 5, a deliberate setup. I like to imagine Jesus had a glint in his eye when he says, where are we going to buy bread for these people to eat? Where are we going to do it? Boys. He would have said boys and girls if it was class, but there were only boys there at that particular time. He actually says in verse 6, it was to test them. It was that classic teacher's rhetorical question ploy. Where are we going to buy bread? And Philip takes the bait. Philip says, blah, 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 blah. It would be 10 or 15 grand we'd need to get bread for these people. That's 200 denarii. That's a day's wages. So 200 days earning depends on how much you earn. You do the maths. And I don't know whether this was a quick calculation that Philip did or whether he just plucked a big number from the air. And I wonder whether he would like to add, and by the way, Jesus, in case you're looking to us, remember you asked us to give everything up to follow you, so don't expect us to turn out our pockets. Jesus is teaching his disciples as the inner core. He always teaches the crowd and then teaches those disciples a little bit more to help them understand. So Jesus is giving in healing. He's giving in teaching. And then he's giving in feeding. And we can see that feeding literally and also a little bit more broadly. I don't know if this is kind of me to say so, but I think that in verse 8, Andrew is being sarcastic. Am I allowed to say that about a disciple? I think so. He goes, well, there's a boy here who's got five little rolls and two fish. They'll be all right. What good are that going to be? What are you going to make of that, Jesus? And you know, I've probably preached sermons that talk about when we give our little bit, just how it can be multiplied. That boy had just, you know, the five tiny, and these are little, they're more like rolls. Don't think loaves of bread, little rolls, barley loaves. Five little loaves and two fish. And you would give our little bit and it gets multiplied. I don't actually know that he gave that bread willingly. I don't actually know whether the disciples went, oi, you, I've got some, yeah, I see that, give it to us, don't keep it to yourself. Who knows? That's pure conjecture. But I like to think he was being sarcastic. Yeah, we haven't got a hope, have we? Don't be so stupid. But remember, it's all about the symbolism. It's all about the signs. It's Passover. We see that in verse 4. Passover makes you think of unleavened bread. Unleavened bread makes you think about the manna in the desert. Thinks about God's provision for those in need. They're barley loaves. Barley loaves would take someone who knows their scripture well back to the story of Elisha, which is why we had that reading from 2 Kings 4. Elisha, that great prophet, that great man of God, what did he do? He has 20 barley loaves, and he feeds 100 people with some left over. I think that's a pretty good miracle, don't you? I think that's a pretty good miracle. So it's a setup that we get here. Is Jesus better than Elisha? Well, mathematically, yes. Elisha has 20 loaves to feed 100. Jesus has 5 loaves. He feeds 5,000. You see what John's doing? And they are satisfied. They ate as much as they wanted. Literally, they are filled up. Oh, by the way, remember, Jesus is the one who fulfills what has happened in the Old Testament. And there's lots left over. There's not some left over, there's lots left over. There is a super abundance. Jesus will go on to describe himself after a little episode in water walking after this. He's going to go on to describe himself as the bread of life, but we'll come on to that in the series in a few weeks' time. So you've got Jesus performing this extraordinary miracle, greater than the ones that they will have known before. And just as an aside, final thing in the giving, it's on grass. You might think, so what? Have a picnic, get some grass, as long as there aren't too many thistles, you're happy. The grass is not just about comfort, nice as that would have been, and not that common in an arid land, remember. But where does a shepherd take their sheep to feed? To green pastures. He makes me lie down in green pastures. This is a Jesus who's bringing care in so many ways. Giving in so many ways. He gives through the healing. He gives through teaching. And he gives in feeding. But if that's the giving, what about the gathering, which will be a lot shorter, don't worry. And remember, symbolism, symbolism, symbolism. It's about the signs. The Jewish practice would have been to have collected up the leftovers, so that was fairly normal thing to do. But 12 baskets, super abundance. And you know there's more. We're told there are fragments, there are pieces left over in verse 13. Literally, the word is broken bits. There are broken bits left over. Jesus gathers up those that are broken. Jesus gathers up those that are broken. So that, it says, nothing may be wasted. Literally, so that nothing is lost. Jesus has concern for the lost. He gathers up the lost and the broken. You see what John's doing. And there are 12 baskets. 12 baskets, says to a Jewish listener, 12 tribes, completeness. He has concern for bringing in the lost, the broken, to make complete the church of God. There is so much going on in this story. There's more left over than there was at the beginning. And what does that say about the gospel? The more we give away, the stronger we are. The more we give away in terms of what we have as Christians, the more we give away the gospel, the stronger we are in our discipleship walk. We see that as individuals. We see it as churches. When we give away to church plants, the stronger the church becomes. So the gathering is about so much more than just care for the environment. It's not some part of some great Keep Israel Tidy campaign, but it's the demonstration of Jesus reaching out and gathering people up into his family. And the result? Well, having said there were two G's, a giving and a gathering, it's one further G. They get it. They get it. I was tempted to make the final G gobsmacked, but I'll stick with get it. Because it says in verse 14, they recognize that he's the prophet. Of course, that's not the whole story. There's going to be more to learn about who Jesus is, but significant revelation simply through what he has done. They get it. So what about us? We can read this story and go, wow, that's brilliant, Jesus, you're amazing. We love you. But what else does it mean for us? Remember, our calling to be more like Jesus. Our calling to help others to do the same. So the giving aspect. Healing. Are we willing to speak healing into people's lives, to pray for healing when people tell us about what's wrong? Because we know the power of the name of Jesus. Our God does heal. Or are we just caught up in that temptation to offer sympathy rather than prayer? someone tells us, that must be really hard for you. Let me pray for you. We have connection to the God of the universe. The same God who brought about healing through Jesus by his Spirit can bring healing through us by the same Spirit. Will we take the risk? What about teaching? Will we give in terms of how we teach and speak to others about the gospel? Not to be afraid to give the reason for the hope that's within us, as we read in Peter. To speak the truth as long as it's seasoned with grace. And to ask each other for help where we find it difficult to be those who speak the gospel. Will we get our life group to pray for us about that particular situation that maybe we missed out, or that situation that's coming up? Will we work together to be those people of the gospel? And the third aspect of giving is feeding. Will we do that literally through our hospitality, through giving food to those in need, through giving help in other practical ways to show the love of God in action? We too can give just as Jesus gave. And then gathering. We too can gather as Jesus gathered. We too can be involved in the enterprise of making disciples of all nations. We too can be involved in the enterprise of picking up the lost and the broken and helping them to understand and receive the love of God as shown in and through Jesus. And it's as we give and we gather that the gospel is real. As we give and we gather, people's lives are changed. As we give and we gather, others will get it. Let's leave it at that for today. And let's pray. Amen.